listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Carulla. We're going to do another quarantine episode of Wake Up Hollywood, and it's the final of three episodes I've done to feature the new NK Band record. It's the last show right before we release it on Friday, so I'm going to play the last three songs from the record and give you some backstory. So, this record has definitely been a long time coming. I've been saving songs for up to 20 years to put on this record. I've written songs as, you know, recently as 6 months ago to put on the record. And it's just one of those records that, you know, took that much time to kind of like learn the process of recording, I think, for me. Also to just kind of like learn arranging and challenge myself with piano, challenge myself with string arrangements, horn arrangements, and the whole, you know, culmination of all of it has been the result of what Revolutions is. And we're super excited about the record. It's already got 22,000 streams for the song Revolutions on Spotify. It's got 10,000 streams for Testify, and it's got something like 4,000 streams for Give and Forgive. And we just released the fourth single last week, By My Side. I did this very strategic January 1st. He passed away August 26th, about 4 years ago. And January 1st is his birthday. So the song Revolutions was first released on his birthday because it was very influenced by the band Sublime. And that band is a band that he actually showed me. So I wanted to kind of give my love to Sean and put my, you know, and honor him in a way to best capture our friendship and his influence on me as far as music. And that song definitely had a lot going on, and I'm very excited. And then the second single was Testify that we released, and that had kind of like a harder edge to it, a little bit of Rage Against the Machine, a little bit of Nirvana, a little bit of Guns N' Roses, a little bit of Chris Cornell, all kind of swirled into one. And the cool thing about that was we had a DJ spinning turntables and just kind of added a different flair to the band. And, you know, Cruz, DJ Battleship, Cruz Martinez, he had played some shows with us in Utah and also played a Royal Seco with us. So it was awesome and such an honor to have him on the record. And then we released Give and Forgive as the single number three, which was featuring a string quartet called Quartet 405 and four lovely ladies that are incredibly talented. And that is Eliza James, Danica Pinner, Jana Chow, Rebecca Schlappich, Charles. Just amazing, amazing string quartet. And they came in and we did the arrangement. I arranged it the night before, and you know, when I was doing it on Logic, you know, it notates a lot of it for you, so I didn't check it. So when we got to the session, there was some, you know, weird things about the arrangement that we ended up fixing just on the spot. But it was pretty great to actually hear a string arrangement that I had composed the night before and then, you know, seeing it come to life in the studio the next day, which was awesome. So it was pretty fun to do that, and they just killed it on the record, and so did the band guys. It just has a very pop appeal. It's been a very popular single so far, just because it's kind of like a love song. It's very poppy, and I love it. So I knew that song was going to do well, but I wanted to release it third because I didn't want it to just kind of like completely overwhelm all the other songs on this record as far as what the sound and the songs would be. So, you know, there was this wide net as far as styles. You had like a sublime-ish reggae rock tune, then it was like a harder rock tune, then it was like a softer like pop rock tune. And then the fourth single was a song called By My Side that we released last week. And that song we played the first week of doing this promo. And that song is very heavily influenced by U2. And it also kind of fuses Eric Clapton's Layla, Derek and the Dominoes, to be factual. But Layla was it's a song that's a huge influence on me. And U2 is also a huge influence on me, mostly because of my brother. My older brother loves the band U2. And, you know, we've gone to so many concerts together. And, you know, I guess, you know, trying to make your older brother proud never gets old. So that song was a song I definitely wrote in that style. And it was actually the song that he said that he loved the most, or one of them. He actually liked that in the outro. But it's been an honor just to kind of like give a little backstory on the record and, you know, talk about tracks. The first track I'm going to talk tonight about is a song called To Be With You. And it's a very special song to me for a number of reasons. Number one, I actually wrote it when I was a junior or senior at USC's School of Music. And, you know, I played it for my songwriting teacher, and the cool thing is he showed me some chords to add at the beginning. So, you know, those chords are still in the arrangement. But shout out to Pat Caddick for that. But it's a song that I never put on a record for a long time. And the reason is I just didn't really feel – I didn't feel like the song fit on any record. Not yet, at least. And, you know, I always envisioned doing it solo piano. And, you know, for this record, when I was kind of rehearsing with the band, I was like, you know what, let's try this and see what happens to it. And I fell in love with the arrangement of everybody playing on the song. It just kind of like gave it some groove, some backbeat, gave it some R&B swagger. It will always be a song I love playing solo, but it's really a song that I've fallen in love with playing with the band, and the arrangement just added to it. The best part of this song is I asked a very special friend of mine and inspiration to me as a songwriter, a guy named David Ryan Harris, to not only sing but to play as well. And he's just a tremendous musician. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. He's one of my favorite musicians on the planet. We met a long time ago when he was opening for John Mayer, and I heard him playing the side stage at Verizon Wireless, and it stopped me in my tracks. And I listened to him, and I was like, this guy sounds amazing. He sounds like Lenny Kravitz and Stevie Wonder all mixed into one. And so I signed up on his email list, and when I was working at Guitar Center, this is probably 18 years ago, a friend of mine, Scott Little, shout out to Scott Little, who came from Georgia, he said, hey, man, what are you doing tonight? I said, I'm going to see this show at the Temple Bar, this guy, David Ryan Harris. He said, I was just about to tell you to do the same thing because David's a good friend of mine and I want to introduce you to him and I think you should go. So we both went to the show and Scott introduced me to David Ryan Harris. And I told David, I said, man, I've been a huge fan of your music. I love your albums and I'd love to play a show with you. And he said, let's do it. So when we first got asked to headline the House of Blues, after we co-headlined the House of Blues, but when they gave us the venue to headline our own night, Randy Feibinger, he said, you know, who would you like to open for you, the House of Blues? I said, there's only one musician I'd love to play a show with more than anything, and that's David Ryan Harris. And so I reached out to David. I said, man, I'd love for you to open for us. You can play for as long as you want, and I just want to share your music with our crowd. And he was like, man, I'd be happy to do that. So we actually we did something cool. He played a song on my set, and I played a song on his set. And I played this song with him called Strong Enough, which is one of my favorite songs he's ever written. And then he came out for our set, and my lead guitarist at the time, Anthony King, they were trading solos on a song called So High. And he went behind Anthony and started playing Anthony's guitar, and Anthony started playing the left hand of his guitar, and Dave was playing the right hand. And it just turned out to be this like improvised moment that is kind of one of the coolest moments we've had, you know, playing live or having anybody sit in with us. And you know, I knew then that we were going to be very good friends, and I've just always loved his music ever since. I've seen him tour with John Mayer. I've gone to see him many times at the Hotel Cafe and other venues just to hear him play live. Check out his record, Light Years. It's one of my favorite albums he's done. It's just a magnificent piece of work. But when we were doing this record, I always wanted to do a track with him. And when I was recording this song, I was like, David would be perfect to do some vocals on this song and, you know, also play some guitar. So I said, man, are you available? And he said, yeah, man, I'm available. Let's do it. So he came into the studio and he brought these great guitars in, and we got to catch up a little bit. And, you know, I laid down some background vocals because I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to do the song. And he was like, well, what do you want me to do? I said, just add parts to this everywhere you want to. You know, let's go from the very beginning. And everything he laid down was just magic. It was just so good. And he was so humble. He's like, oh, you know, I don't want to, you know, overstep, you know, you're the storyteller. I said, we're the storytellers in this song. And, you know, I said, sing all over it, because I've heard myself sing many times on records. And, you know, I featured Maya Sykes on the record, and I kind of told her the same thing. Like, I want to just hear you singing. I don't want to hear myself singing at this point. I've made so many records. But it was so refreshing to hear David singing all these great improvised licks and hear him play guitar. And it was just like such a special moment for me just to like work with him. And he's just like one of those great musicians that always shows restraint and always lays down something perfect. And his voice on this was just butter from the top to the end. And he added some really cool guitar licks throughout the whole song. One of the coolest things he did was he added a little fuzz guitar at the end and just gave it like this total Prince vibe, which I was so happy about. And there was a bass solo in the record. My bassist, Jesse Stern, laid down this amazing solo, and it goes to this big vamp in the middle of the solo. And I was like, David, you know, it'd be so awesome if Jesse starts this solo, and as he gets bigger and bigger, you're getting bigger, and he kind of hands off the solo to you. And there was just room for it in the song. It wasn't planned at all that way, but it ended up being this really beautiful moment. And so it really showcases David, and it really brought this song to life for me. And it made me realize why sometimes when you know that you have to save something, you know it for the right reasons. Also, one of the other reasons I decided to record it, When I teach songwriting and production to various songwriting students all across Los Angeles. And one of my students, you know, she heard the song and she was like, why haven't you recorded that on a record? And I said, you know, I just didn't really think about it. She's like, you really should. And I respected her songwriting so much, Felicia Andalong, shout out to you, that when she said that, it kind of like made me reconsider. I was like, you know what? I should put that on a record. So maybe the next record, I'll put it on the next record. And it ended up fitting. It ended up being something really special. And I'm super, super excited to share this with you. This is To Be With You on Revolutions.
Just sail the deepest sea. I would climb the highest peak just to be with you.
Still gives me chills. Just gave me chills just now listening to it. David did this cool little Hendrix thing at the end. It's just so perfect. It's not all the time that you have a song that kind of defies genres a little bit. I feel like this song is a little bit of a jazz song. It's a little bit of an R&B tune. It's a little bit of a rock tune, but more like a power ballad. But, you know, it has all these elements to it, and it's really weird because it's one of those songs like when if I was to tell somebody, like, what kind of song is this? It's kind of all of them and none of them at the same time. It's one of those songs that kind of stands in its own, it's in no man's land as far as categories, which I love about the song. And everybody's performance is so awesome. David Leitch plays the sexiest percussion on this song. I don't know what it is. He goes from bongos to congas, and it's just, the parts are so badass and the band is grooving. Jesse lays down the best solo, and then David lays down the best solo. And then, you know, hearing David and I singing these parts together, and then also when he does these little flares, these R&B flares of these vocal licks, it's just tremendous. I mean, honestly, I just, like, I listen for the song, but I'm always listening for the stuff that he's throwing down. He's one of my favorite musicians and people. So it was a tremendous honor to have him on the record, and I hope we make many more songs like this because it was just a tremendous honor to just be a part of that experience. The next song I want to feature is a song called Thorns to Every Rose. The joke in the band is every time I'd call this song out in rehearsal, my lead guitarist Ray would say, "Every rose," that's it, because it's got that connotation. This song is really, really old school song to me for many reasons, because it has a lot of African influence. I'm gonna, you know, maybe it's the songwriting teacher in me, but the one thing that's cool about this groove is it's in 4/4, but it's also in 6. So the drum groove is actually, you know, doing 4 on the floor against a 6/8 groove. And what's really cool about that, it's like you hear both time signatures at the same time. African music does it all the time. It's where I stole it from. And, you know, this style is very reminiscent of what we did on our early records. In, you know, last week's episode, I played a song called Survive. And, you know, I said Survive and Just the Love kind of is this rock, you know, anthem of two songs that kind of shows we're going into new directions. And at the very end of that song, it goes into this African suku section. And that's kind of reminiscent of like us knowing our roots and knowing our sound. And this song was the one song of us going back to our sound that I always will come back to, because I just love world music so much. African music, it just floors me on so many levels. Whenever I hear it, it's like I'll never escape it, because it's something I'm always going to want to write. Whenever I hear something, you know, it just totally influences me and makes me want to write more music in that genre. Just happy music. It's just got a really spiritual vibe to it. And it's, you know, it's not something that you hear all the time. I feel like a lot of that sound has more push to go. So Paul Simon did it. Peter Gabriel did it, you know, like influencing and pushing those sounds out. Dave Matthews did it, and Sting has done it, you know. So I want to be part of that lineage of pushing African music forever, because it's one of my favorite parts of music is learning African grooves, learning, you know, different ways to write in that bag. It features a couple really great artists on this. The first being Sean Gaskell. He's an amazing kora player, and kora is an African instrument that is made out of a giant gourd. And it's, you know, I got to know him pretty well after Sean, my best friend who passed. He is married to the cousin of my best friend. So, you know, he told me he was way into African music. I said, man, so am I. I play African music and we tour. And he was just like so alarmed by it, you know, and we started talking music, and you know, he told me he played the kora. I said, oh, that's like Tumanu Diabate. And he said, yeah, Tumanu Diabate is the guy who made that instrument kind of famous. And you know, I told him I'd seen Tumanu Diabate play with Bella Fleck at Bonnaroo, and we played Bonnaroo. And it's a really ornate instrument. It sounds like a harp, but it's made out of this giant gourd, and it takes like 2 weeks to make it properly, because you have to, you know, carve out the gourd and then let it sit for a couple days. And then you have to stretch the gourd and the strings. And you basically have to put in a lot of time and effort to make this instrument. And he actually made his own instrument. He told me that he didn't record with the instrument that he made, but he had told me that he'd gone to Ghana and learned how to make this instrument. And so he made his own kora, which is kind of crazy. So when he brought it in, you know, I knew the exact song I was going to have him sit in on. And I was like, you know, you need to play on this African section on the opening tune, but really I want you here because I want you to play on this African tune, because it's going to add so much. And as soon as he started playing, I mean, it adds so much personality to the record. It's one of the most beautiful sounding instruments on the record. It is like something you've never heard. It sounds a little bit like a harp, but it sounds more dreamlike than a harp, if you could ever say that, but it does. And the cool thing about it is it was really interesting to try to figure out parts. And, you know, he usually tours alone, and, you know, he was so excited just to be playing with other people on a track. And I was excited to have him kind of, you know, throw out ideas, and we came up with these great parts. And, you know, he was just showing me scales and things and kind of like little movements on the instrument that would sound really cool. So we did these like flourishes that were super beautiful on the record. And so he's one of the featured artists. Another featured artist is David Leitch again. He played a ton of percussion on this track. He played a shekere, which is kind of also a gourd instrument, and it has beads on the outside. And I think it's the only time I've ever had two gourds on one track, you know? So nothing like two gourds to add to a song to make it, you know, elevated. But the cool thing about it is, you know, you hear a gourd in the kora being one part of the gourd, you know, equation, but then you hear the gourd shekere in a completely different context. It's not tonal. It is strictly a percussion instrument, and you shake it kind of violently a little bit, like, you know, like this, and it has this groove. It's got like pig hooves and all kinds of, you know, kind of big hooves around it to give it this kind of like percussive sound. And it's just another really kind of like really neat and worldly instrument. And it is typically played on this style of music. And it was really great because I already knew the part from when we had toured for years playing the song. And but David played all this other cool stuff that was just killing, some talking drum parts and just, I mean, so much cool stuff that it was just one of the coolest things just to watch a percussion session. David Leach is one of the best percussionists in LA, and if you ever work with a percussionist that really knows percussion, it's always a pleasure doing those kind of sessions, because it will only add to the music. It'll never take away from a groove. And a great percussionist always knows how to add to a song. And 99.9% of every percussionist I've ever played with has done exactly that. So David laid some great percussion on this track. And then Nate Kettner, he is the third featured guest on this track. He played, I think he played soprano sax on this. Yeah, he played soprano sax on this song. May have been an alto sax, but I'm pretty sure it was a soprano sax. The cool thing about Nate is when Zane Musa passed away, he was the saxophonist that played in the band. You know, a long time before, he said, you know, if you ever need someone to sub for me, ask Nate Kettner, because Nate is like my musical twin. And so for years, I had tried to get Nate to play gigs with us, and he was always booked or he was always super busy, and it was so tough. And he wanted to, too, because Zane had told him, you know, you should play with this band whenever I can't. So it just never worked out when Zane was alive. And even after Zane passed, I tried to get him to do some gigs, and he was just always booked. But, you know, when it came time to do the record, I called him way in advance. I said, listen, I really want you to be the solo saxophone voice on this record, because Zane told me that you were his twin, you know, his musical twin. And, you know, he said, you know, Zane, what a compliment. And he said, Zane and I always felt the same about our each other's playing. And, you know, we always loved each other's playing so much. So I'd be honored. So he came to the studio with this amazing horn section that I put together with, you know, different players from different bands. I had Sean Eric on trumpet, Leon Silva on saxophone, tenor saxophone, and, you know, both those guys play with Justin Timberlake, and then Ludo Ludovic, who plays trumpet for Lenny Kravitz and a whole bunch of other artists, and then LaSim Richards, who's played with Jay-Z and Dave Matthews Band, all kinds of people. So all those guys and Nate, they all played on All Night, the kind of Ray Charles tune that we featured the first week. And then, you know, I asked Nate to hang back because I wanted him to play on this song. And he was that voice that Zane would have thrown down on this record. And I was just so appreciative. I was emotional when he was playing because, you know, it was one of the first times on the record we actually had saxophone on the record. And, you know, because I'd spent so much time with just the band members rehearsing the songs and just kind of working on these songs and recording them, that when I actually heard saxophone again, I'm getting emotional even just thinking about it. When I heard saxophone over these songs again, I couldn't, you know, hold it back. So I was just like kind of like getting teary eyed when I was listening to him play. And he was like, you know, he'd stop and say, "Is that good?" I'm like, yeah, man. It sounds great. You know, kind of just getting lost in the music. And then we got to the point where it was just like, all right, let's get these parts and get these, you know, I want you to play a solo. He played this magnificent solo. And, you know, we have this cool ending. That was the one thing that we changed with the new band members. I never liked the ending to this song. So as a band collectively, we came up with a cool ending, and I love the ending. I love Nate's solo on it. I love all the parts, and you know, it just makes the song elevate on so many levels. So here is Thorns to Every Rose, by the NK Band off of Revolutions.
To climb the steepest trail, to soar forevermore, we look into the wind for answers all within. We run away to something so brand new, sing our love songs, knowing all alone. Do what you want.
Super crazy, and you know, I don't usually tell people this, but that song was all one vocal take. That was why I kept everything that was in there. I just loved everything as a whole, and any little things, I was like, nah, you know what? It's kind of cool to have a track that it's just one take, one vocal take. It was the first vocal take, and did it all the way through, and I just loved it. I was like, this has got all the things that I want in the song. And so, yeah, it has all one vocal take. So one take, you know, and I, when it was time to even put harmonies, I was like, no, it doesn't need it. I need a song that doesn't have harmonies on every track or, you know, any harmonies, and let the band just do its thing. So it kind of sounds like what we sound like in rehearsals. And, yeah, that song definitely did that. So I hope you enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite songs on the record, and it's just got a great arrangement. It's just got a great groove. The rhythm section's insane. All the parts are just driving, and Ray Bergstrom on lead guitar just completely kills the African kind of guitar line that is played. And it's one of the only songs I'm actually also playing acoustic guitar on it, and it's very light. And I actually played the acoustic that I've done all my live shows with, my Martin, that's been on all my earlier records too. I only had acoustic on two tracks, and it was the two that I'm featuring tonight. This song, Thorns to Every Rose, which I played my Martin, and then the next song that I'm going to feature, which I played on my good old acoustic guitar. And it's one of those special things that I wanted to kind of like have as a part of the record, like my old faithful guitar that's kind of been there from the very beginning of my journey and will continue to be on every part of my journey. It'll be, you know, the guitar I play on every live show, and it'll also be on every record. I think I'll always play that guitar. It's just where I just feel super comfortable. So it's one of the songs I played acoustic guitar, and I just love that track. So hope you enjoy Thorns to Every Rose. And it's a song just kind of about how we kind of hold our darkness, even with the light that we want to kind of bring into the world. And we kind of always keep those things close, kind of like the duality of living. You know, it's like we have demons that we are constantly fighting, and we hope we keep those demons close. And no matter what, we choose to keep them close. So I think as we, you know, live on in life, we kind of shed those demons, or we kind of try to kind of, you know, move forward and lessen the load, you know, so to speak, so that we can, you know, elevate, ascend. So this last song that I'm going to feature on the record, it's a very heavy song for me. And, you know, it was one of those songs when I knew I wrote it, and I knew it was going to be a very hard song for me to record it, to sing it, to mix it, and listen to it on the record. It still is a very painful song for me to listen to. It's a song I actually wrote for Zane Moussa when he passed away. So Zane ended up committing suicide, you know, when we were actually all performing at Sundance, and he was on another tour with Arturo Sandoval. And it was a very sudden, it was a move that I never in a million years would have thought that he would have done something like that. He was always just a very jovial spirit, and, you know, he was a genius musician. So, you know, when he passed, it really affected me. I mean, you know, it really hit home. It actually cut me deep. It made me not want to tour as much. It made me lose a lot of faith in the music industry, because, you know, it's like, he was definitely one of the geniuses of the music world, and anybody that knows him would say the same, and who's played with him, they would say the same. Actually, Mahesh, I just read an article with a good friend of his named Mahesh, who's a tremendous jazz musician, and they asked him, you know, he had all these amazing things on his resume and his career, playing for presidents and playing for Quincy Jones and playing with all these jazz legends. And they asked him, what is his most prized memory of playing music? And he said, playing with Zane Moussa. And I would actually agree. I would second that completely, because it was a very special experience to play in a band with Zane and to hear that guy just jam every night, because he never played a bad note. He never played anything that was less than extraordinary. And how many musicians can you say that about? I mean, really, how many musicians can you say that about? Not many. And he was one of them. So when he passed, it really, really floored me. It killed me. And, you know, I went to his memorial, and, you know, I saw a lot of his friends of mine that were speaking. And I just remember being a mess. I couldn't speak. I couldn't say anything. I just was so in shock, and I was crying a lot. And, you know, funny, I got the news of Zane's passing. Not that that's funny. It's not funny. But we had also decided to get a bulldog. And so Zane passed, and then I think 3 days later, Otis, my bulldog, like my boy, and he came into my life, and he kind of saved my whole world from crumbling, because he is the reason that I just kind of shifted into, you know, kind of healing, you know. So while I was healing with Otis, and I was, you know, that little fella, he's not so little anymore, but while I was healing, I was kind of going through all these feelings, and I knew I had to just like write about this. So I sat down with a guitar, and I started writing this groove, and I think the song popped out in 5 minutes. And it was everything that I wanted to say to Zane after I heard the news. And it was basically about, you know, he was suffering from, you know, mental depression. And I always told him all the time, man, you're a genius musician. I know it weighs heavy on your mind. And if you ever need a friend to talk to, man, just reach out. And he was like, thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, like, you know, I will if it ever gets to that. But and he, you know, he didn't. He didn't reach out to anybody. So the sad thing is, you know, the whole, you know, mental depression, that was the first time it kicked down the front door of my world. And it made me realize how serious of a problem it is. And, you know, the song that I wrote was called I Wish I Knew, because everything in that song that I wrote and sang about was I wish I knew all these things when we were alive together, because maybe it could have helped, you know, maybe it could have changed what his trajectory was, you know, on that fateful day. But, you know, also I had lost another saxophonist 2 or 3 years later, Mike Aiea, another friend of Zane, and another tremendous saxophonist who played with the NK band. They actually played a couple House of Blues shows with us together. It was one of the only few times both of them played together. And it was one of the best nights of music that I've ever had in my life. I mean, these two guys were trading solos throughout the night. And we always usually have the horn section or one horn player, always. But this night we had two horns, and they were just battling the whole night. They're just pushing each other so much. And it was one of these magnificent moments where I was like, it's never going to get better than the way these guys play right now. It's just so good. So I listened to them jamming. We had a great night. And Mike ended up touring with us after Zane passed and kind of took on Zane's role and was tremendous about it, because he played so many festivals with us. He helped me put together horn sections, some of which played on the record. He helped me put that horn section together. And he also helped just like keep pushing the sound of the band forward, despite going through this heartache that we all experienced together. And, you know, so I knew when I was going to record this song was going to be dedicated to Zane, Mike. And the third person is my cousin, Karin Joseph. Karin was a very genius keyboardist. He lived in India, and he came out to – we actually went to Africa together, and we had this lady, you know, prophesize our lives to us, and she told us that we were both musicians, and he was just starting piano, and I was like, what? How could she tell that this guy's a musician? And he was this incredible keyboardist that had toured the world. He'd come to study at Berklee College of Music in Boston. And I was touring a lot. So when he was studying in Berklee, I went out to visit him in Boston. And I had him sit in on my gigs and with another one of his friends. Shout out to you, David. And the two of them sat in with me on like 3 or 4 gigs all over Boston. And we had the time. I mean, it was such a great – the time of our lives just, you know, like just – jamming all over Boston. And I remember I was doing some college touring, so like I would leave and just tour all around Massachusetts and then come back, and you know, we'd play some gigs in Boston and I'd leave again and then come back. But I had such a great time with my cousin Karin. It was like one of my favorite times playing music with him. And he had come and jammed with some of the band members in L.A. when we'd done some shows and seen some festivals we played. And he was doing big things. I mean, A.R. Rahman, who's one of India's biggest musicians, had called to have him play on some stuff. And he moved to Mumbai and got lost in the city a little bit. But, he had a tragic end to his life. And so when it came time to record this record and this song specifically, I knew that I wanted to have those three voices, soprano sax, tenor sax, and keys, to represent those players. So I actually had Nate play saxophone on he played both tenor and soprano on this track. And he did a tremendous job because he actually channeled both of them. He knew both Mike and Zane, and he channeled both of them in such a beautiful way. I don't know how he didn't like have lines playing at the exact same time, but he didn't. He had like these perfect, flourishes of saxophone, in soprano saxophone, and then it would lead into a tenor line. He just knew how to stagger it in such a way that it was kind of like reminiscent of that night of Zane and Mike playing with us at the House of Blues. And it still takes me back to that moment. And then for the keys, I can play keys, but my cousin was definitely a badass keyboardist. So I enlisted a badass keyboardist to kind of represent his voice. And so I asked Bruce Hornsby's keyboardist, a guy named JT, John Thomas, and he was just he was just an incredible musician, and he was so kind because he didn't even know me. He knew our engineer Doug, but he lent me this keyboard so that I could do all of my scratch piano tracks with the band, and he didn't charge me or anything. And I didn't even meet the guy, so I asked Doug. I said, he needs to play on the record, and this would be the perfect song. And he had just lost a close friend, a musician named Moon, who he wrote Doctor, Doctor, Give Me the News, Bad Case of Loving You. I think that was his hit song. So he had worked so much with him, and this song was evoking emotions within him. It was evoking emotions within myself. Doug, our engineer, he exited the room and started weeping as well. So this song kind of has a very heavy vibe. I knew it was going to end the record. It's not the last song on the record because I didn't want to end on a sad note. So I have the outro that we played last week end the record. But for this special, last feature on the album, I kind of wanted to end the record with this song because, this record was about those three losses that I had in my life. They were all wrapped up in music, all of them, and that was our connection. So I knew I was going to take time to make the next record, and I knew it was going to take a lot to go through and make this record. And this song was the one I was kind of dreading the most when we were recording it, not because I didn't love it, but it was because it was going to be so painful. And it was, and I cried every time we mixed it. I cried even when I was singing it. It was just one of those songs that was just hard to get through. So I love this song. I miss Zane, Mike, and my cousin Karin so much. And this is I Wish I Knew off Revolutions.
I wish I knew when you have it. I wish I knew that you needed a helping hand. Mostly I miss you. Mostly I miss you. I wish I knew. Thank you. this life so hard, my friend. Mostly I miss you. I wish I knew that you needed a friendly voice. I wish I knew why you thought there was no choice. Mostly I miss you.
So it also this song also features a tremendous contribution by Marty Rifkin on pedal steel guitar, and that little Bach fugue part that Ray puts on electric guitar at the end, man, that makes it. There's two parts of the song at the very end after you hear all the solos and everything, all the parts. It's my drummer goes into like a drummer, like a marching drummer's march. That I just love, and then it was that little Bach fugue guitar part that Ray put in at the end. It just made the track. So, yeah, those are all the songs for Revolutions. I hope you love them as much as I do. I have not stopped listening to this record for the last few months just because it means so much to me. And, yeah, every song on this record is kind of got a different color and a different amount of fire and a different amount of honoring all the musicians that played on it and the musicians we lost. So, yeah, once again, the record comes out this Friday, January 29th, on all music platforms, 2021. And as a way to celebrate the record, I have recorded a video performance of six songs, five songs on piano, one song on acoustic guitar, all songs from the record, intimate portraits of the album. And yeah, that'll be released at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. East Coast time, 7 p.m. Mountain time, and anywhere, whatever the times those are internationally, that's when it'll be out. So 5 p.m. On this Friday, I'm going to release that as a way to kind of celebrate the record and just kind of pay homage to having a performance of some kind attached to the CD release. So you've got all day to listen to the record and, you know, put it on circulation. And then you've got 5 o'clock, you've got some intimate portraits, different versions of the record that I'll be playing, and I hope you enjoy. One of the joys of doing this radio show is working with people like my engineer, Ronan Rosner. Shout out to you, buddy. Thank you so much for being patient and helping me with all of these things throughout all this time. It's super cool to do a three-part segment to promote the record, and it was kind of always the plan to do that, knowing that the record was going to be released, how it was going to be released. So I featured all the songs on Wake Up Hollywood first, and now you can listen to it all on Friday. So thank you so much for your time. Ronan, thank you so much for your time, and go listen to Revolutions and play it for your friends, play it for your family, spread the word. This train is alive and well, and we're going to keep on going. So thanks so much. Lots of love, and keep shining on. Take care.
Listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.